Vayetze, Tavshinayin test. It says, Vayachalom, and he dreamt. He dreamed. Vinei sulam mutzavarza, rosho magia shamayma. Right? And there's a ladder that's placed, right? The word arza, really, we'll see the sasemes.
It's land.
Right, where the arza, right? But it really should have been, it should have been, vinei sulam nitzav ba'aretz. Standing, mutzav arza implies that an action is taking place. It's being placed, right, on the aretz. We'll see. Verosha magia shamayma, and the top of the ladder reaches to the heavens. Vinei malachei Elokim olim v'yodim bo. And the angels, right, of the Ribbono Shalom are rising up and descending upon it. The bow, right, is really cool. We'll see. The Medrash is going to deal with what is the bow referring to. Is the bow referring to the ladder, or is the bow referring to Yaakov? And is it could be the angels of Kila rising and descending upon him. Right? Okay. We'll see. V'inei Hashem nitzav alav. Once again, the pronoun over here, alav, right, just like bow, alav is on what? On the ladder or is on Yaakov. V'inei Hashem nitzav alav. V'yomar ni Hashem elokei Avram avicha velokei Yitzchak. Ha'aretz asher atah shochev aleha lecho etnenu lezarecha. The earth that you are, what do you call it, you are lying upon, I will give to you and to your descendants. So let's take a look. We'll first take a look at several midrashim, how they deal with this, and then we'll see recall some of the farshim deal with some of the different approaches of the medrash. So the first approach over here, right, in the medrash rabbah, samaches, yud beis, these aleph beis and beis alephs and gimel aleph, gimel aleph beis, hey, what do you call it, hey, where is it, there's dalet here, right, those I put in, because what do you call it, they're different approaches. Says, if in isulam zeh kevesh, what's it referring to? The ramp going up in the Mizbeach. Mutzavarza ze Mizbeach. Right? What are we talking about? We're talking about the Kevesh to the Mizbeach. The ramp to the Mizbeach. As it says, Mizbeach Adama Ta'asali, V'rosha Magia Shamayma, Elu HaKorbonos. How does it reach the heavens? Right? Those are the Korbonos. Shereichan Ola LaShamayim. That their fragrance rise up to the Shamayim. V'ni Malachei Elokim. And who are the Malachei Elokim? Who are the angels referred to over here in the what do you call it in the Nimshol? Elu Kohanim Gdolim Olim V'Yordim Bo. The Kohanim go up the ramp and down the ramp, etc. In the process of bringing the Korbanos. So the first approach of the Medrash is that the dream of the latter, yeah, is talking about avoda, service of Hashem. Service of Hashem. Okay, and that's the Sulam. The Sulam is the Kevesh. The next approach of the Medrash, right? Rabbanin Pastrin Le B'Sinai. By Chalom V'ni Sulam Ze Sinai. So second, pretty cool, second approach is that we're talking about Sinai. Right? Sinai, pretty cool, the gematria of
Markul.
I don't think these things stay sharp. What do you call it? So the sulam, right? Called with, you know, without the vav, and it was written chaser samach lamed mem is the gematria of Sinai, mm-hmm. of Sinai, right? And here we're talking about not avoda, we're talking about Torah, Kabbalah Satorah. Hinei sulam is a Sinai. Now that's the second approach of the Medrash. Now within that second approach of the Medrash, right? So go down all further in the Medrash. V'lamadnu neviim shnikru malachim. And who are the malachim that are going up and down in the Nimshal? Right?
The Sinai and malachim came up and down?
Oh, so let's see. We'll see in a second. L'navim shenikru malachim, they're called malachim. D'chsi v'yomer chagai, malach Hashem, v'malachos Hashem, la'am, v'hinei malachei Elokim ze Moshe v'Aaron, olim. Right? So in other words, the Moshe v'Aaron are referred to as kilu, as the malachei Elokim. They're the emissaries of God. Right, the emissaries of God. Those you have emissaries of a Kodesh Baruch Hu who are start in the Shemayim, and then who are sent down to earth, and then there are other emissaries of Hashem called the Nevi'im. Right, they live upon the earth, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu, they're also a Kodesh Baruch Hu's emissaries. Right, and it says Vayered Moshe v'ini Hashem nitzav alav Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Right, and this is what the vision over here. So we have one vision over here of Yaakov, the first parish in the Medrash, that's referring to this is going to be the place of avoda, the place of avoda, right? The place of service. Wisdom is bad. Right? No, you know, the first parish. I'm going over.
Uh-huh.
Right? The first parish is that it's going on avoda.
Right.
Beis Hamikdash is the place of avoda. The second thing about the Beis Hamikdash is the place of Torah. It's a place of the Nevuah coming down, you know, coming down from above, coming down to Shemayim. And the two operative approaches they used to say about the rugged shover, you know, what do you call it, that he would say he prefers learning to, what do you call it, to davening. Why? He says, because in davening, I'm talking to Hashem. I'd much rather have to hear what Hashem has to say to me, right? Yeah, and we call it in Torah, it's coming down towards us. So in the Beis Hamikdash, there really are both aspects. There is the aspect of avoda, of service, right, of service of Hashem, and that creates the entire atmosphere within which we live, right, to be in a state of avodas Hashem. Torah, right, Torah is, and if we would describe it that way, if you want to relate avoda to what do you call it, to Torah, so avoda, as it were, is the cutting of the canvas, right? Right, we call it, have the proper canvas, and the Torah is the picture that we paint upon the, what do you call it, upon the canvas, right? The Torah is painting the picture, as it were. I mean, you can use in that sense. For instance, in Olam Haba, there is no tefillah in any event. There's no tefillah. There's no avodah shebelev because it's all clear. Right, maintaining the balance, maintaining the organization of the system inside of our minds and hearts is what we do through avoda. But as he says, we call the second mahalach here is the mahalach of Sinai. The sulam is Sinai, gematria sulam is Sinai. The malachim going up and down, right? They're malachim going up and down, and the neviim are also called malachim. Right, who are going up to receive the words of Hashem and to bring them down to the people down on the earth.
Moshe and Aaron.
Right, Moshe and Aaron and all the Nevi'im for that matter, but especially Moshe and Aaron with regard to Sinai, but all the Nevi'im. The Mor Nevuchim in his Akdama talks about this idea that the Malachim are coming down on the Nevi'im. They rise up to their high Madrega, receive for record, and they have to come back down and share it with the rest of the people.
Why are you referring to Nevi'im at Sinai? They were all Nevi'im?
Well, what do you call them? Yeah, I mean, the truth is that we experienced, Laniach, according to the Rishon, we experienced the same Madrega of Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu for at least the first two Dibros, right? For the first two Dibros, Anochi and Lo Yelecha. But also, above and beyond that, just what do you call it, the experience of Sinai. Right, was the most, you know, most important the prophetic experience in the Jewish people. Hashem sent His word down in total, the Torah down to what He called to Klal Yisrael. Then continues the Medrash, right? Right? He says, Rav Shalmoni b'shem Reish Lakish Amar Tarchusa Shel Gimel Regalim Herolo, right? He showed that at the base of the ladder, is like a box, like a stand upon which the ladder is standing, like a tripod. Like a tripod. Herolo, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Desichnin b'shem Rav Levi Amar Atu Regel Shlishi. In other words, who was this tripod, and who were the avos? In other words, the avos, set the foundation. They set the stand upon which the ladder then rises up towards Sinai, right? All the different midos, Avram being what he called Chesed, and Yitzchak being Gvura, and Yaakov being Tiferes, right? Tiferes, etc. The glory of Hashem to be what he called when he can be mitpa'er banu, and every act that we do, we're attached to His name, right? We're attached to His name. So that's what he called. Let's just understand that for a scooch, so it shouldn't just be overly simplistic. You know, in Avram, what he called, you set one side of the stage, right? Your Avas Hashem, right? In Yitzchak, you set the other side of the stage. He's called Pachad Yitzchak, right? He would be called the Yira before he stands for the Baruch Shalom. The Tiferes, the glory, right, of Hashem, is what he called, is in that. Through Yaakov is Emes, right? Yaakov is Tiferes, Yaakov is Emes. Yaakov is the one who's connected to the Torah. Through the Torah, we are, as it were, we carry Hashem's name in everything that we do. It's not just the general description of having Avas Hashem and the general description of having Yiras Hashem, but the combination of those two things finds complete fruition in what he called in the life of Torah, in the learning and in the observance of Torah, right? You learn what he called to do the mitzvahs properly and the mitzvahs with depth, and what the mitzvahs do is they transform every act that a person does, every machshava that he has, every dibur that he has, every act that he does, it transforms it into a name of Hashem, because the Torah, like the Ramban says in Sakdama to his Perush on Chumash, are all names of Hashem. So every time you're learning Torah, implementing Torah, you're holding Hashem's name. In that way, Hashem is mitpa'er. That's splendorous. That's splendorous in that record. Is that record? Here's Hashem's name budding out from everything in creation. So that's the foundation of the ladder. So that's the second perish, right? Well, third perish in the Medrash. Ruchi of Rav Yanai.
That has to do. So you say Sinai has connected to Avram.
Sinai's Torah.
Sinai's Torah.
The first parish was the Kevesh, Avoda. The second one is with the Sulam, is Sinai's Torah. Just having to say that in that section there, they said, and the foundation, what's the stand, right? The base of the ladder. The base of the ladder is standing on three, as it were, three legs. And Yaakov is the third leg. So they were just talking about that. Next, right? Right, Rav Chiya and Rav Yanai. What's the point of this? What do you call of this ladder? Chadam are olim v'yordim basulam. Okay, so the machlok is here, Rav Chiya and Rav Yanai, and their name will come back also in what do you call in the next pasuk as well. Right, the sulam. Right, when it says v'hine sulam mutzavar, the rosh magia shamayma, v'hine malachei elokim olim v'yordim bo. They're rising up and going down on the ladder. Okay, so now the Chadam are Olim V'Yordim B'Yaakov, right? And one says, what do you call the Olim V'Yordim the Sulam? One says, what's the bow? Is it referring to the Sulam, right? Or is it referring to Yaakov? So what does it mean when it's going up and down on Yaakov? Right? If you're going up and down the ladder, I understand. What does it mean to go up and down on Yaakov?
They were on top of him?
Oh, then it's Kilo, what do you call it? We'll see in a second what they're doing. Let's see. What does that mean?
He just saw them go up and down.
Yeah, I understand. But because the Olim V'Yordim Bo, is Kilo, right? It's Kilo, their Aliyah and the Yerida is related to him. Not so much to the record that he's, the focus is not per se on the ladder, right?
So he was
the
involved
focus
with the
is. The focus is that they're, as they go up and as they go down, they're commenting on him. Right? They have some sort of yachas to him. So let's see, the Medrash says. Right? Umanda Amr Olam V'Yordim Esuam Nicho. Umanda Amr Olam V'Yordim B'Yaakov. Ma'alim Umoridim Bo. Afozim Bo. Kapozim Bo. Sontim Bo. They're making comments about him. And not of them, they're not necessarily complimentary. Shenamar Yisrael Asher B'Choy Espoir, right? The Yisrael is what he called, is the, like we said before, the Midah of Yaakov is Tiferes. Because Baruch was Mitzpa'er, right? Here is the one who's going to carry my name constantly through every record, every move here in Olam Hazeh, the physical world, which at first glance appears to be, you know, you don't see Hashem's name. You don't look outside and see Yud Kei Vav Kei written in what he called in the leaves of the trees, right? But Yaakov, through Torah, transforms everything into seeing Yudke Vavke in everything that's out there. So he says, Asher B'chai Espoir, Atu she'ikunin shokhocha kuka lamala, olu lamala v'ro'an ikunin shokhocha v'yordan lamata u'motzim oso yashen. So remember Yaakov is sleeping. Right? He's sleeping. He's having this prophetic vision in a dream. So the Malachim are going up, and on the one hand, they see his visage on the Kisei HaKavod. They go up the ladder, and they see his visage on the Kisei HaKavod. And they come down, and they see, you're sleeping. How can you be sleeping? Right? In other words, this is the tension. Right? This is the tension that Kilo, the Malachim are pointing out. That on the one hand, you know, you're so lofty, and at the same time, you're still a boss of Adam. You're still a boss of Adam. We'll see that in a different parish of the Medrash, we'll see that perhaps this has an effect on Yaakov. In other words, this, as it were, this dichotomy that on the one hand Yaakov is on the Kisei Kovod, he's holding Hashem's presence in the world, right? And the Kisei Kovod means he is the throne upon which Hashem is riding. And the other fact, the other idea that he is on the one hand, he's on the other hand, he's a basar adam, he's a person of flesh and blood, right? And therefore, given to the frailties of flesh and blood, right? He sleeps. So perhaps Yaakov, this might leave Yaakov feeling a little bit concerned, right?
So he's heard the comment.
Right, he's heard the comment. He's heard the comment. Okay, so let's see.
What is Yaakov going to do about this?
Well, we'll see. What do you call it here? Another take on the same idea of the Malachim going up and down, etc. Commenting about Yaakov, but this time not necessarily, we're not talking about commenting negatively, but what do you call talking about the Malachim's relationship with Yaakov. It says, Dover Acher Lemalan, Kol Mishu Omer Schuso Ola, right? Chovaso Yored. Lematan, Kol Mishu Omer Schuso Yored. Chovaso Ola. Paradox. You see the Malachim going up and down. Lemalan, right? Those who are in heaven. Kol Misha Omer Suso, whoever speaks in the merit of Yaakov, is Ola, he rises, right? Because that's the world of truth. You speak about the milas of Yaakov, you rise.
This is another medrash?
This is what he called, it's all in the same medrash, but they're like a different take on the Malachim's, you know, what he called relationship to Yaakov. Yeah? When he speaks his chus in heaven, he rises. And if he speaks negatively against him, he descends. In this world, right, Lamatan here down in this world, Kol Mishu Omer Schuso, anybody who speaks his schus is Yored, goes down, right?
He speaks about his what?
His schus, his merit. And it's because in this world, what he called Yaakov, yeah, we'll see that Yaakov
himself, or
like speaking, the people who speak about what he called, you know, in other words, speaking about the schus of Yaakov over here is what he called is not necessarily a guarantee to rising. It could be a guarantee to falling because Yaakov is he takes a very low profile in Olam Hazeh. Yaakov doesn't want to take a high profile in Olam Hazeh, which we'll see from another measure shortly. That Yaakov is right. Yaakov wants to, like I said, he's willing even to suffer in this world for fear that if he takes too high a profile, right, he'll fall, right? He doesn't want to fall. His tremendous year of falling. He wants to only maintain the connection. He would rather, as it were, feel in a very lowly state over here, because that maintains his need to call out to the Rebbeinu Shlomo all the time, and therefore he has less fear of falling. He'd rather be in a more tenuous, put it this way, a more tenuous position in Olam Hazeh, in order to, what he called, to make sure that he, God forbid, lose his firm connection to Hashem, rather than being in an exalted position in Olam Hazeh, which might lead to hubris, to gaiva, to forgetting that, what he called, forgetting that, you know, who the source of everything is, etc. Okay, so we'll see. Now see another medrash. There's another medrash.
He's already said that when he was afraid of losing one of his sons, he thought that he failed in the world as a voter.
Right.
That he wasn't going to be perfect
right,
enough.
Right, right. He didn't do what we do. Right, right. That's a different face of the same. Right. Okay. Finally, in this same medrash, right, is the last thing, Dalet here. Tavracher olim yordim bo, olim yordim olim osam shalivu osoba eretz Yisrael, yordim elu shalivu osoba chutz la'aretz. So what he quotes, so now the last parish that they're bringing this message over here is that these are the angels who are escorting him. Protection. In other words, they were the angels who escorted him in Eretz Yisrael. They're going back up now because he's now going to Chutz La'aretz. and the angels from Chutz Lartz are now going to escort him as he goes into to Chutz Lartz. So we have his relationship with the angels going up and down upon the ladder, right? Either commenting about him, or they're, what do you call it? He's not necessarily commenting about him, but the first two Perushim we saw were the imagery was to tell us about Avoda, or about Torah, or about his relationship with, what do you call it, with these angels. They're commenting upon him. On the one hand, you're so lapsing. On the other hand, you're, what do you call it, you're a bus or a dumb, you're sleeping, right? Or, that we call, we don't have to go over that other parashah there. And the last thing is they're escorting him. They're what we call the protecting him. So the concept, the angels, and Yaakov over here has got really three main motifs. Mm-hmm. Avoda, Torah, or four motifs. Avoda, Torah, making comments about Yaakov, their relationship with Yaakov, and finally protection. Okay.
How are they coming to protect him?
In other words, really quality Malachavi Tzavalachlish Mochabachold Rechechel, like we say, like Pasuk says, that Hashem instructs his Malachim, right, to guard over his the tzaddikim here in this world. Ki Malachavi Tzavalachlish Mochabachold Rechechel. Right? It's a different medrash. Also in the medrash Rabbah, not the same one, but everybody call it a different medrash. And hear this. Now, here we're going to talk about the tension, right? The tension, it's also a relationship of Yaakov and the Malachim, but this time it's not they're making comments upon him, right? And certainly not about it, they're escorting him, but rather the tension between the system of the Malachim and Yaakov. Let's see, what does that mean? It says, Amar Rabbi Avol, Mashal ben Malachim, what's a comparable to a prince, son of a king? Shahaya Yashin al Gabay Arisa, he's sleeping in his cradle, his crib. Vahayu zvuvim shochnim alav, and flies were landing upon him. Vekivan sheba menikasa, and when his nursemaid came to lean over onto him to nurse him, shachalav menikasa ubaruchu my me alav, and the flies fled. Flies fled. Kach betchila, so too also over here, says the Medrash. V'nei malachei elokim olim v'yordim bo. Right, the Malachim are representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga HaTeva. Right, the Hanhaga HaTeva, the way that Hashem guides. Listen, all of reality is an expression of Hashem's will.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like we've talked about before, Elohim with Hey, not a Kuf. Right, is Gematria HaTeva. So the Malachim they're talking about over here, going up and down, they are the Seder, they are the order of Teva. They're the agents of Hashem to maintain Teva. Right? 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 For that matter, the nations of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha upon them, is also via Malachim. Via Sarim. Right?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with Klal Yisrael is direct. Not through any, there are no lenses, no filters, right, in between.
Okay.
Right? So what he calls, so Kevenshin is Galav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it reveals himself upon Yaakov, Baruch Hu Me'alav, they all fled. All the, what he called, all the angels fled. In other words, this vision over here is pointing out the difference, right, the difference between the way that Hashem Rikot guides the world at large, and the way Hashem guides Yaakov's life. And that's just Yaakov's life, our lives, B'nai Yisrael's lives. Right? The Malachim are going up and down, they're doing their job, they're maintaining what he called world order, what he called geopolitical systems, all the physical, and what he called, etc. All those systems are all what he called, they've been taking care of the Malachim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now I'm going to be with Yaakov, move aside. Right, so then the Malachim flee because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dealing with Yaakov is not via Malach.
Direct.
It's direct. That's because Yaakov and Klal Yisrael, right? Yaakov is Emes, that's the Torah. Klal Yisrael is Makabel the Torah. That's because we are dynamically in a partnership with the Rabbonu Shalom, right? By being involved in the Torah, we are actively partners with Hashem. The nations of the world are not partners with Hashem, right? They're part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu guides them in the way He wants the world to unfold. He's mashgiach upon them, right? There is an equal and opposite reaction to every action they do, the scharva onesh, etc. But they're not changing. They're not holding on to the helm, as it were, of the, what do you call it, of the ship called creation, the way the Jewish people are. They're on the boat, right? They're on the boat. They're, what do you call it, they're rowing, etc., but they're rowing according to the order that Hashem gives. They're part of the plan, etc., but they are not participating in directing, what do you call it. And again, their actions, Hashem gives his mashgiach upon them, yeah, according to what they do, the scharva onish, etc., etc., etc. Again, all of that is going by way of the malachim, right? By way of the malachim, not by directly from Hashem, and that's what this medrash is trying to communicate to us. That's the first miracle. That's the first part of this medrash.
But the Jewish people are on a different level.
Different level, on different plane. Purpose. Different plane. Somebody calls. So this is a new outlook on the relationship between the appearance of Hashem in the dream, Kaviyachol, and the malachim there. In other words, the malachim are there; they're doing their thing. That's the world's order. But when Hashem appears, what do you call? Bang! The malachim flee because what do you call? Hashem is now having a tete-a-tete with what do you call with Yaakov. Upon this, right? Upon this, so it says, Rav Chiya v'Rav Yanai, right? The same Rav Chiya and Rav Yanai over here. Mm-hmm. The topic, just like in this pasuk, right? Right? The pasuk, Olin v'Yordim Bo, who is the Bo? Is the Bo the ladder? In the first pasuk, right? Mm-hmm. Who is the Bo? Is the Bo the ladder?
Or Yaakov.
Or is the Bo, what do you call it? The Bo the... Did I give you a thing? I gave you pages, no?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, I apologize.
Okay, it's okay, go ahead.
No, it's not good. Right, go on.
No, I'm following.
Do we quote? The bow, just like the bow, is, just like the bow.
You cutting down on paper?
Just like the bow is referring to either the ladder or to Yaakov, so to the Alav is referring to either Yaakov or the ladder. Yaakov letter.
Which
the pronoun Bo.
Which pasuk is that? Alav.
Here we go. Here up here. Look on top. We go here.
It
says
Bo.
The top pasuk is the Bo. The bow is what you call it, is either referring to
Yaakov with the ladder.
Or the Yaakov with the ladder.
Where's the Alav?
Here, on the here, the next, what do you call it? Vine Hashem Nitzav Alav. Right? So it's also with the same Rav Chiya and Rav Yanai, the same discussion also, right? Also the what do you call it? Also is here's the Alav, right? Here's the Alav. Right? And here's the bow. Right? What is that pronoun referring to? Is it referring to ladder or is it referring to Yaakov? So he says over here, and this is a medrash we've discussed before. So that's nice to see it inside. Ruchiyah Rav Yanai, right here down in this what do you call it? Where is it? Yeah, what do you call it? Ruchiyah Rav Yanai. Chad Omar Alav Al Asulam. Chad Amar Alav Al Yaakov. Okay. Manda Amar Alav Al Sulam. Okay. The one who says that, what do you call it, that Hashem is on the Sulam now, and that therefore, like the Malachim fled, right? So we understand that. We understood that before. And there's the idea being that when Hashem is now I'm on the Sulam. I'm dealing with Yaakov. All the Malachim flee, right? Because we know what's happening over here is what do you call it, the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yaakov is on a different plane. They flee.
I thought the pasuk says they went up and they didn't come down. They came down and
didn't go up. What do you call it? We'll see. That's another medrash, right? That's another medrash. Elamanda Omar Alav Al Yaakov Mimiskayim Alav. What does it mean? Hashem is Alav. He's on him. Hashem is on him. So Amar Rav Yochanan. This is really cool. We've done this medrash before. Amar Yochanan. Harashoyim Miskayimim Al Eloheim. That's a mistake. I shouldn't say Elohim. It should be Eloheim. Uparo cholem v'hine omeid al yaor al tzadikim elokeim. Here it should say elokeim miskayim aleim. She never v'hine Hashem nitzav alav Omer Ani Hashem Elokei Avram. So the record, in other words, in this report, in this, the idea of Nitzav Alav, this defines the difference between the approach of Klal Yisrael, of Yaakov and Klal Yisrael, into their relationship with the Ribbono Shalom, in contrast to the relationship that the idolaters have with their gods, right? It's not just we chose right, you know, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. There's a fundamental difference between the approach, between the people here on earth and their deity. There's a fundamental difference. And that's what the Medrash comes to contrast, right? Medrash comes to contrast. In Yaakov's worldview, Hashem is Nitzav Alav. Hashem is on top of him. In other words, Hashem is calling the shots, and Yaakov's whole approach to life is what he called is how can I fulfill that which the Creator wants of me? In the idolaters, and that's what the Medrash is coming to contrast. By Paro, it says Paro is Omei Al Hayor. He's above the Nile. The Nile was his deity. Why does the Pasuk say that he's standing above his deity? Because the difference between the Ovid Hashem and the Ovid Avodah Zarah is the Ovid Hashem is always trying, as it were, to understand what the Creator wants from him and to bring his thoughts, words, and actions into sync with the will of the Creator, which is with the will of reality, really. Whereas the idolater, he lives in the world of his fantasy, right? Right? What is his world about? His world is about is how can I die with as many toys as possible? How can I have the most pleasant life as possible? How can I have the most money in the bank? The most exotic, what do you call it, and erotic experiences? The most this, the most that, the most next thing, whatever it is. And now, what I need to do is I need to bamboozle my God into giving me this. Right? Right? He's Omid Alav. He's Omed Paro is Nitzav, he's Nitzav Alayor. He's what he called. Paro is Omed Alayor. He stands above his deity. Now, he might be willing to sacrifice all sorts of things, right, in order to his deity. But the bottom line is so the deity will give him what he wants. What he wants.
That's the last one of the levels with Havas Avos. It said Hashem, people can do good and bad to expect a lot of reward in this world.
Okay, again, but
can you call it idolatry?
It's not idolatry. It's not idolatry. It's true. It's not true. You see, but that's why it's a lower level. But you call it, but there, yeah. The idea is I want to do God's will, right? Because I really do want God's will. But I can't extract myself totally from this world and make myself like a rock that it doesn't bother me, right? I need these things, I need that thing, so you could give it to me. But not because I don't want to have a relationship with you. I do want to have a relationship with you, but I need this in order to function because I'm too affected by Olam Hazeh to ignore it totally. The idolater is that's not the issue. By the idolater, is really I don't need a relationship with you, right? Really, excuse me, to hell with you. I don't need you. I don't need you. The only problem is I do need you because I can't get it any other way. Right?
Right.
So that's the difference. Okay. So Chas V'Shalom, we're not coming to say that, record that, you know, like when we need, you know, whatever we ask Hashem for, you know, because to make our life a little more pleasant, a little bit easier to live, etc., it's what we got from not saying idolaters. Right? Okay, fine. Now, the Medrash Tanchuma is an entirely different approach to the dream here, right? We've talked about malachim, right? We've talked about differences between what we call it, the way Hashem relates to the world, what we call it, the rest of the world, what he relates to Yaakov, right? Now the Medrash Tanchuma is a completely different right approach, and this is what we were talking about before. Vayachalom and Hey Aleph, right? Vayachalom. Hinei sulam mutzav arts of Rosh Magia Shamaima. Hinei malachei Elokim olim v'yodim bo. Amar v'shmul bar Nachman. Elu sarei umos ha'akum. Right? These are the angels who are in charge of the, what do you call it, the particular nations. Like we said before, that Kosh Baruch Hu, right? Yeah, each nation has a sar. Tavrashum Vanachman, Malami Sheherala, Kodesh Brokhlo, Avinu Yaakov, he showed Yaakov, Sar Shel Bavel, going up this many rungs on the ladder. The Tsar of Yavan, of Paras, going up this many rungs on the ladder. The Tsar of Yavan going up so many rungs on the ladder. And then finally he comes to Esav, Vishel Edom, and he showed him the Tsar of Edom rising up on the ladder. Allah v'lo yada kama, right? You know, each one of them, he saw a certain number of rungs that went up and then they came down. And that's because each kingdom, as it were, Babel had its 70 years, and Paras and Mari had their number of years, and Yavan had their number of years. We saw them, they went up and they came down. Edom goes up, and he doesn't see him come down. So, at that moment, Ba'os Hashan Yare Yaakov. Yaakov was afraid. He saw Edom go up. He didn't see him come down. Vamar Shem Lezeh Einol Yerida. Maybe this, we call this worldview, the worldview of Esav, maybe there's no descent. Right? Because maybe Esav, what he called, can maintain. He stays up there. Amalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vata Al Tira, Pasuk in Yirmiyo, Vata Al Tira Avdi Yaakov. Don't be afraid. Val Techas Yisrael. Right? Even if it looks like he's gone all the way up to me, right? He's not going to stay there, right? Ani morido, I'm going to bring him down. Shneamar and pasuk in Ovadia, right? Im tagbia kanesher, if he rises up like an eagle, ben kochavim min ben kochavim sim kinecha, if he places his nest amongst the stars, misham oritchanu Hashem. Hashem says to Edom, I'm going to bring him down. I'll bring you down from there. Right, so that's the first part of this medrash. What do you call this? This entire, in other words, this in this medrash, in this approach over here, the malachim going up and down the ladder. Isn't, we're not talking about avoda, and we're not talking about Torah, and we're not talking about what do you call it, per se, what do you call it, the different type of hashgach of Yaakov and hashgach of what do you call it, of the nations of the world. What we're talking about over here is we're watching the march of history. Watching the march of history. What do you call it? Bubble goes up, comes down. Paras and Madai go up, they come down. Yavan goes up, comes down. Edom goes up, he doesn't come down. He gets nervous. Somebody calls him, don't worry. Don't worry. Even though it looks like he's not going to come down, I'll bring him down. Fine. The second half of the medrash, though, right, is similar to the first, but it has a new twist to it. And that's actually what's very fascinating. Amra Brachia B'Shem Rabbi Chelbo, B'Shem Rabbi Yosina. Malamage Sheherev Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov Avinu Sar Shel Bavel. He saw them all. He saw the whole same story, right? And then it says, right in the second line is what he quote over here. In the second line, Amar Le Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov. Amar Le Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says Yaakov, right? Over here, Amar Le Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov. Yaakov, Lama Yenata Ola. Why don't you go up on the ladder also?
Hashem says that to
Yaakov? Yeah, Yaakov says, yeah. Why don't you go up on the ladder also?
In his dream.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Why don't you go up on the ladder also?
He said he was sleeping.
What?
He said he was sleeping.
Well, he was having a prophetic vision. It wasn't like he was snoring there. Right? He was having a prophetic vision. Right? Yeah. Okay, let's take a look. He says, Lama inata ole, ba'osa shah nisyare avinu Yaakov. So in the first part of the Medrash, he just says he saw them all rising and he saw them come down. And that's why he was afraid. And Rekodesh Baruch Hu, he didn't see Edom come down. So Hashem said what he called it. Hashem said to Al Tira Avdev, don't be afraid. But in the second part of the Medrash, his fear is not because he saw Edom go up and didn't come down. His fear was a fear to rise up in the ladder. Hashem says, why don't you go up on the ladder?
You already said that he was afraid. Maybe he's going to go up there in the ladder and screw up.
Oh, say it. We mentioned that before. That's from this Medrash. That's from this Medrash, right? Right? Now I'm afraid to go up because I see they go up and they fall down. Right? Maybe if I go up, I'll also fall down. Hashem says, if you go up, you won't have a yerida. He didn't place his trust in Hashem, and he didn't go up. Right? Shimon ben Yosina hayadoresh, and as a result of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, he says, Ilu Alisa, had you gone up, Yaakov, right? Ilu Alisa, where is it? Ilu Alisa, where'd it go? Ilalisa, had you gone up, Vehemanta, had you gone up and had you believed, Lohais Lechayamid Alolim, you never would have come down. El Hoil, Veloemanta, right? But since you didn't believe, Rebanecha Mishtabdim Balolo Dal Malchios Volumazeh, your children will have to be subjugated by these four Malchios in this world. And in the end, the Medrash ends, yeah. And in the end, what do you call it? All the trials and tribulations they go through will have cleansed them, and then you'll go up and what do you call it? And you'll be with me. But in this world,
they need cleansing so they could choose the right way the next time it happens, so they could do the right thing.
Again, what do you call it? He what do you call it? Yaakov was afraid to go up. Yeah, Hashem said, had you believed, you would have gone up and not come down. But now that you've chosen, what called to be afraid, so your children are going to be subjugated by these Dalad Malchios, right, etc. But in the end, I will bring you all back, right? I'll bring you back from all the Galuyos. I'll gather in all what he called the Jews from the Gulfs.
Who are the four Malchios? Esav?
Well, no, Bavel.
Bavel.
Paras, we have Persia.
Paras.
Yeah. Yavan.
Yavan.
And then Edom. Okay? So that's a very interesting thing. So now, look at this. This, but the bottom thing over here, what he called, this is the Leshem. This was Rav Eliashem, Zechariah ben Baruch, what he called, grandfather, great-grandfather, I don't remember. Right? I think his grandfather. His grandfather. He was the premier, right? He was the premier Kabbalist in Lita, in the, what he called, in the 19th century. The 19th century. The 1800s. He says, "V'kasher nizbonim."
That's the 1800s.
The 1800s, yeah. "V'kasher nizbonim." B'ze matzano od ki me'ein inyan anizker hinei nichshlu b'ze kemat gam eze kedoshe elyon migibori koach ose dvaro. He says many tzaddikim, in terms of having a bitachon in Hashem, have been nichshol. Wait, you'll see. Just a second. Stay calm. Yeah. Asher hayu kol libam v'nafshem Hashem tamid, which is a hard thing to understand. I mean, here we're not talking about, you know, I don't have bitachon. Why? Because I have more, you know, trust in my bank account than, God forbid, what he called, than the Rebbe Shlomo Chas v'Chalila. Right? Shouldn't happen. But we know we cope with sometimes we fail in our bitachon. But these are tzaddikim. These are tzaddike elyon. We're going to talk about Yaakov in a second. What does it mean he didn't have bitachon? What does it mean he didn't have bitachon? It's not because, oh, I don't think Hashem is taking care of me, etc.
Don't use it as an excuse.
Ella, it was through incredible, right? Perhaps misplaced, if we could use that term, right? You can't really use the term, not misplaced. But derech hachna, humility, umora, fear.
Yaakov
and others. Ayidei. Godel k'dushasam v'amasanusam, because of their incredible holiness and their humility, therefore they didn't have bitachon. The im kol zeh hinei lefi erkam, right? In other words, it was out of kedusha that they didn't have it. Nonetheless, given who they were, hayanechshav gam zeh lahem le'ezah kilkul pegam. Nonetheless, for them it's considered a chisaron. Peirush. Now look at this.
Therefore, it's muter.
What?
Therefore, it's muter. We don't want to be.
No. Again, when we don't have bitachon, we don't have bitachon because we don't have bitachon, right? When they don't have bitachon, it's because they think they're not worthy of Hashem. What he called. We'll see. We'll see in a second. He says, "Va'inyan bezehu." On page two, on what he called on the bold. "Va'inyan bezehu kinei hagam shenodehu shemidas yorechet." Right, to be a yorechet, to be afraid, God forbid, that I shouldn't sin, right, is a tremendous, it's a lofty madrega, right? She'ein l'malav imenu, there's nothing higher than that. V'nemar mishle, it says, Ashrei Adam, mefachei tamid, a person, what he calls, should always be in a state of fear, lest I God forbid sin, right, on his toes. Im kol zeh, hinei ikro hu rak l'shmoras atzmo shel olov lidei chet. That's only there you employ that midah of yiras chet, right, to make sure that you don't, God forbid, to sin. Aval liyos yore shema yigrom achet enu klal hu v'malas atzadikim koshka savti. You employ it to keep you from sinning, right? But you shouldn't assume that what he called it, therefore you're unworthy, what he called to be, what he called to place your trust in Hashem. Don't say that.
And right? Say it again.
In other words, like let's say, Yiras Chet is the fear of sinning. Why the fear of sinning? The fear that I've gone against my Creator, right? So that fear should permeate a person so that it keeps him always from sinning. I just, oh, God forbid, I shouldn't sin. Chas v'chalila, I shouldn't sin. Right? But if, however, that sense of Yiras Chet, I'm not using in a proactive sense, right? Yeah. In a proactive sense. Of what he called to keep me from sinning, but rather in a sense of degrading myself, that would call, why should he be worthy of Hashem taking good care of me? Why should he be worthy? I'm not worthy to be taken care of. That's a chisara.
Mm-hmm.
That's a chisara.
Well, you think of yourselves, I'm not worthy of being taken care of by Hashem.
Right. I'm not worthy.
Okay. We're not supposed to think that either. We're not, worthless property.
Right. We can see.
Unless your wife tells you.
Okay. Let's not get be cold.
We're not worthy.
We're not doing conjoint family therapy. Okay, fine. Yes, he's Avalios Yori Shamaim Yigur Machet. Right? Eino Klalu B'malas HaTzadikim. That's not a milah for the tzaddik. That's not a mile.
Being steeped in humility?
Yeah, his humility, which prevents him from feeling worthy of what he called being boteach v'Hashem. That really, not because he doesn't believe Hashem can take care of him, but why should I be worthy that Hashem take care of me? Of course, it goes to Mefarshim, etc.
That's a flaw, though.
It's a flaw. Right? Again, it's because you've got this good quality that you've allowed to, what he called, to overextend itself into a different area that you shouldn't have allowed it to overextend itself into. In other words, the Yiras Chet is there to keep you on your toes from sinning, but the Yiras Chet shouldn't, as it were, infringe upon the territory of Bitachon.
See, he didn't say that Yaakov, friend, you just didn't trust himself.
No, it's really good. No, but that's how it's Gomorrah. The Gomorrah says, Shem Yigur Machet, right? That's why we would get in next week's Parsha. Like, you're Yaakov. When Esav comes and he's afraid, why is he afraid over there? Well, for the same reason, because maybe I've sinned, and if I'm not worthy of Hashem's protection, and there what the humility then has done is required. It's crossed over into a territory which is damaging another part of his avoda, and it's a mila, but you need to compartmentalize, right? The Yiras Chet has to be there, right? We call the terror of sinning, right? Of God forbid I should go against my Creator. It's got to be there, but that's meant to be there to keep you from sinning. But not what you call in a sense of self-detraction, that what you call that therefore infringes upon you, what you call your feeling of bitachon, because who says I'm worthy of Hashem's protection?
And when Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't say he was too humble. He just said he was humble, but he still went further.
Yeah, it doesn't say what he called it. Certainly not over there.
He wasn't afraid of getting too high and saying the wrong thing. Like that one guy who saw in the Akko or something. One of the guys went up to
That's the different thing. Okay, that's fine. So now, look what he says here. This is fascinating. In the last paragraph over here.
This midrash.
This is all part of the Leshem, right? Called the Leshem Shol Vachloma. Rav Eliashem recalls the Tzadik Kodesh Lebracha's grandfather. He says, "Befrat, somebody who didn't feel like he sinned." Recall, why should
start again?
He says over here, "Befrat Misha Eino Margish." Especially because somebody who didn't feel like he sinned, but what he called Kilu, maybe I sinned. If he sinned, it's one thing, right? So then you feel, okay, maybe I'm not worthy. Okay, that we can hear. But even there. It's misplaced.
Even where?
In other words, right? In other words, even where I did sin, even where I did sin.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, right, that shouldn't, I shouldn't cause me to feel as though, right, caught, that I, what right do I have to be boteach b'Hashem, why should he take care of me? Even a sinner, the Lord brings in even a ganav, right, if he's boteach b'Hashem, Hashem will protect him. Protect him.
That's very good.
Right? Because it's a different story. Bitachon is a different, it's a different plane. It's a different plane. It's a different plane. Okay? It's a different plane.
He's a tshuva, and again, you want to return to your place. You want to get higher and higher.
Whatever, that's two different things. How we call it, tshuva, but even when he calls the ganav, he's running, he's in the middle of stealing. You know, Hashem, take you to the good, catch me, save me, Hashem, I'm counting on you. It'll help him. Because it's a different, what do you call it? It's a different, it's a different plane. When a person, as it were, is, places all of his trust in Hashem, no holds barred, right? Regardless of who he is at that moment.
And what
right?
he's doing.
And what he's doing even, mm-hmm. right? Right? Again, how does he, what do you call it? I mean, right now he's not in the midst of, he's not as he's stealing, but he hears them coming into the door, you know, the thing's in front of him. I mean, okay, I was, baby! Right? So then he's entered into an enclave of like Gan Eden before the sin.
Amazing.
And he's with HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Rosa?
Yeah, again, he might wind up stealing the next moment. Again, right? But we call it, but that it's a different cheshbon. So, but it says that when he called the Leshem, he says, you know, that it you know, even though it's true, even like Abagana, I don't have it over here, but yet he writes that also, right? But is that's true even by the Ganav, certainly by a person who didn't sin. But his word, maybe he did sin, he can't even think of what he did sin, right? And that's keeping him from being with that for sure is misplaced. That's misplaced. Then he says over here, the Ein Laharher Al Kama Kedoshim. And we shouldn't, as it were, ask ourselves, we see there are plenty of Kedoshim over the years, holy people, who went through terrible experiences. Went through terrible, terrible experiences. Right? Rabbi Akiva had his flesh combed off of him. Right? Of Yudhiman Bava, what he calls, lanced by I don't know how many different, what he called, you know, spears and arrows, right? All different types of people, right? Big tzaddikim, incredible tzaddikim, what he called, I mean, if we could bring it to our generation, what he called, they were murdered in the Holocaust and stuff like that. I understand, why weren't they protected by bitachon? If you're telling me that a person has complete bitachon, right? He can't, and this is not his chiddush, the Leshem's chiddush. That's the Rambam. The Rambam at the end of Mordechuchim talks about the idea that a person who is 110% connected, no harm can come to him. He based it on the Gemara that what he called, when the time came for David HaMelech to die, he was only meant to live 70 years. He got 70 years from Adam HaRishon, and he was meant to die. The Malchum Avos comes, he can't take him. But that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. He only had 70 years. His time was up, right? Can't take him. He's in an enclave of what he called of Adam before the Chait. Adam before the Chait. There's no death in that world in Adam before the Chait. So the Malcolm of us has to make a trick, right, to distract him, and then he takes him. So listen, what he says here.
So he's going to answer why Rabbi Akiva is a great tzaddik and
So he's going to talk. The Ein Lahara become a kadoshim erishon erishonim shesavlu b'mat kamatzoros v'rolos. I'm lo yishtamshu begam b'midas habitachon. Why don't they use the midah bitachon?
Say that again.
Why didn't they use the midah of bitachon? Right? Why weren't they boteach and they'd be saved? As hayu nitzolim bevadai, then they would have been saved. Like the Rambam says at the end of Mordechuchim, it's like the next last parak.
Hashem, I have 110% betachem now. Save me.
It doesn't help to do a saying just with your lips, right?
Rabbi Akiva, why didn't?
Okay, Seder. So we were good. That's what he's discussing. Agda kimira cheres haisa behem. They had a different approach. Kimihem shekibul as the yisurim be'aval der shom Rabbi Akiva. Some wanted the yisurim, like Rabbi Akiva. He wanted, because he says, all my days, I was waiting to be Melkayim the Pasuk, V'haftas Hashem L'kecha b'chol avav v'chol nafshecha, even if he takes your nefesh. So he wanted to be Melkayim it. So therefore he didn't employ it. He didn't employ Bitachon. He wanted to be Melkayim the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Well, same thing also with what he called with Elazar Reb Shimon, also a similar story. Right? He called the surim that he suffered, he called them my brothers and friends, come. Because he wanted to expiate a sin that he felt that he was
doing.
That
was really Eliezer.
Elazar Ben Shim, Rabbi Elazar Ben Shim, right? Right, but you can bubble and see him. Mehem asher lo rotzu lehatriach al konam. Ki'ilu, they didn't want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, to bend the, what do you call it, the Bria for them. He didn't want them to, what do you call it, have to, he didn't want them to, as it were, to break rules of Teva for them, right? That they should be saved, like Rav Yudah ben Bava. Right, when the Romans were running after him, but he didn't want them to, didn't want Hashem to have to break the rules of Teva, because they're right there. They're going to kill him right now. What is he going to do? All of a sudden, he's going to become a Superman. If he'd been Boteach, it would have happened. But he didn't want to be Matriach Hashem. Matriach Hashem is not that it's hard for Hashem, but Hashem prefers to keep the Teva intact. He didn't want what he called. He didn't want the Teva have to what he called to be broken for his sake. So that he was going to die.
It could have been a pivotal point in Hashem's existence on the earth. Maybe Hashem wanted him to be Bateh. Maybe he felt like Yaakov.
It's a choice. It's a choice. It's what he called. It's a choice.
He picked a selfish choice.
No. I know you could say that, but that's because you want to be argumentative. What do you call it? The Shtamshu B'midas Mesiras Nefesh. Shemasu Snafshim with Kudus Hashem. Right? Shiasa imayim Hashem matoba ein of Yisbarach v'lora tula hatriach etc. So it's sort of similar to Rabbi Kiva, a little bit different. Right, fine.
These guys are on the same way. They didn't want to see Hashem change the teva, but there's other people who wanted to change. They asked Hashem to change the teva, like the wine into, like the vinegar into wine, vinegar into oil, and
they didn't ask Hashem to do that. Right, that was what he called. Rav Chaim Mendoza, you're right. Rav Chaim Mendoza, so that was his type of avoda to show that. Rav Yudah ben Bava, it wasn't his avoda to show. Rav Chaim Mendoza was what he called, that was his avoda to teach people about what he called the deeper reality of the world. You're right. But Rav Yudah ben Bava didn't see that as being his job description. Right? So he didn't.
Really,
and look at this
guys.
Even more, right? Here, v'od, v'chein, hine yesh b'ze od inyan nelam. There's also a hidden inyan over here. Ki lefamim kashahu beretzoni yizbarach lahavia gzera bedafka. When Kosh Baruch Hu wants to bring the gzera for whatever reason he has,
negative or positive,
right? We're talking about negative. Mm-hmm. In other words, Hashem wants this thing to take place. Al pi kivshe rachmana, because of the hidden secrets that Hashem has not told us why, right? Asher b'machshavto ne'elama, right? So hidden that we don't understand why He wants to be mekayem under any circumstances,
bringing Yisur into the world,
right? We call having this person, let's say, we call meet his end. As misalek es habechira umetil morach bilvavam, he Kadosh Baruch Hu removes their bechira, and he places fear in their hearts, so they're not boteach. And as even though on their given their own what do you call it, their own kochos, they could have been boteach, but Hashem as it were introduces a fear that is unconquerable. He introduces a fear, not that they are afraid. He introduces a fear in the hearts, so they can't be boteach.
Is that the Yetzirah?
No, it's not the Yetzirah. It's a gzera, because he wants to be in kind of gzera, and therefore, but because the way Kadosh Baruch Hu designed the world, if a person is totally attached, it's not shaykh, where he would call for the person to what he called to meet his end. It's not possible for the person to meet his end, right? Because the person is carrying Hashem's name. That means if Hashem could bring his end now, it's like Hashem is erasing his own name, right? If I'm totally attached, that means I'm carrying Hashem's name. I got Hashem's name in my hand. If he allows me to fall, it's just like he's erasing the name of Hashem, and that's an Easter. Hashem keeps the Torah also. So what does he do? He introduces this unconquerable fear. He introduces it.
I'm not sure I'm copying this, but it's even more powerful. The guy gets sick.
He's diving,
and then Hashem introduces, you know.
Again, what do you call it?
He could save himself. Okay, say Rabbi Akiva, he could have used B'tachon, but.
We're talking about also people who could have used, what do you call it, used B'tachon. Listen, we're not always Boteach. We're talking about a person who could be Boteach.
A person who could anybody.
I'm talking about somebody, what do you call, not just his potential. I'm talking about he's there. He, what do you call, not just his schus. He has the capacity to be boteach 100%. But for whatever reason, Hashem wants to bring a gzeira. And he wants this person to be his end now. Like the great tzaddikim they put into the ovens and what he called in Europe, right? There was no one there who couldn't have been boteach 110%. There were, of course there were.
Right.
Of course there were people who were 110%, or in Tachmatat, or in the court, in any of the other things that the Jews want. There were people who couldn't have 110%, but Hashem wants the Xavier to take place. Therefore, what Hashem introduces, he introduces a fear into them, which they can't conquer, because it's not their natural fear, which they have the capacity to conquer, right? It's an unnatural fear that Hashem puts in, and in that way, they're not carrying Hashem's name in because they're, what do you call it, they're not in that state of bitachon, and that's how they meet their end.
In other words, they have to give up first.
What does that mean? What do you mean they have to give up first? Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying, because Hashem keeps it. I heard this mashal from, what do you call it, from Moshe Shapir. He says, because they're carrying Hashem's name, right? That means if Hashem lets them meet their end, that means Hashem just erased his name. Mm-hmm. He erased his name. And the Torah, you're not allowed to erase Hashem's name. And Hashem keeps the Torah. Very, very, what do you call it? Very fascinating.
This is fascinating.
Very fascinating.
Very fascinating.
So that's what he called. So that is what he called. And that's the last parish of the Medrash. That's the last parish of the Medrash. And basically, recall, without getting lost in the roundabouts, the rest of the things, because I'm not going to do all the rest of the citations here.
So you say
here.
That person will, Hashem could block the person by... Bring up
again, that's a rare
bear.
Right.
It could be his own personal something, or it could be a tzaddik, the gomer, a tzaddik in this world, case of korban for the rest of the...
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it could be, right? That could be. That could be.
That could be.
What's happening. But anyway, we would call it... The rest of it, we're not going to do all the rest of the citations, but what do you call...
Can we really do this word for word, this one right here?
What do you call the rest of the discussion here is basically is the idea that what motivated another idea of what motivated Yaakov not to rise up on the ladder,
right,
was the idea that he was afraid, in explaining Yaakov's fear. His fear was the fear that if he became occupied with Olam Hazeh, and is rising up in the ladder, just all the nations rise up in the ladder, but maintaining yourself, he was afraid that perhaps if we were too, as it were, on the ladder, rising upward, that we might damage ourselves in the process.
What do you mean by that?
In other words, we might become too involved in Olam Hazeh. That's why Hashem.
He didn't want to go. He was afraid of getting too involved with houses, but he didn't want to.
Right, and that's not so much for him, but for Rukwad. But he was afraid for his children.
There, he would have changed the whole world.
Okay, we're not coming to rewrite the plot, the script, right? But that was his fear, and indeed, because he didn't rise up on the ladder, that's why because had he risen up on the ladder, then we would have in embedded in ourselves, right, the capacity not to break in our amunah.
He was afraid because
rising up in the ladder has its pitfalls, you know. But like the pasuk says, "Vayishman Yeshur and Vayivat," you could get successful, and then all of a sudden, you know, get your thumb stapled to your suspender.
That's what he was always afraid of.
That's why he didn't rise on the ladder.
That's what the Sfasem is saying.
Right. So he doesn't rise. That's why he didn't rise on the ladder.
Right.
You know, he didn't rise on the ladder.
He was afraid of falling.
Right, he was afraid of falling. I mean, the falling is what he called is the falling, like we know, where you get your thumb stapled to your suspenders, right? Right. I don't need Hashem to take care of me, God forbid. Again, he wasn't afraid for himself. He was afraid for his children. He'd be setting an example for them. But it came out really the opposite, you know, that because he didn't show that emunah, he always wanted to attach just Torah, the emes of Torah. Right, but because he didn't do that act of emunah, so we would call it with the ma'isa, right? We sometimes have problems with our emunah, but Hashem, like the Medrash says, will make it all work out in the end. So it should be a good Shabbos.
Nice.